Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, in verses 1 through 3, there are three verses here that are really some of my favorite in the Bible. And we want to spend some time talking about the first verse. I would ask you to keep your Bibles open this morning because some of the things we're going to see are going to be comparisons with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to see a few texts involving his life that then will help us to understand truly what this verse is about and how it applies to our own lives. Tremendous passage of Scripture. 1 John, the epistle of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now notice what he says in verse 1. "What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful today to be here together. What a privilege and pleasure to start off this new year in church together. It's just a fabulous thing. We're here praying together. We're singing together. We're now having the preaching of the Word of God together. Lord, we pray that this particular day and what we're doing will set the pattern for the whole year for us, Father, that we will be in prayer, that we will be in good fellowship, that our voices will be lifted in praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we'll be in the words of God, Father, and communicating the words of God. We ask you to do that for us through this year, Father, and today we ask you to magnify your words, fill us with your Holy Spirit, speak to every soul that's here, to the lost and to the saved, Father, may they each get those things that you want for them today without distraction, without fail, without interruption, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the reasons this is such a fabulous passage of Scripture for me is because it likens us, to some degree, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And you know, that's what Jesus Christ was called, the Son of God. And we see that in many passages in the Bible. As a matter of fact, when it comes to being a son of God through salvation in Jesus Christ, the one key difference between Jesus Christ and us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is the only begotten Son of God. In other words, through his virgin birth, through the conception by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary, Jesus Christ was literally the begotten or born Son of God through a natural birth. We, of course, don't enjoy the privilege of being a son of God through a natural birth. Our natural birth brought us into this world as a child of Adam. And therefore, we have a sin nature, and therefore, we die and have health problems and financial problems and emotional problems and all that other stuff that goes with Adam's people. But when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a son of God. And when you become a son of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then you know something? We can draw some comparisons between Jesus Christ and ourselves as the Son of God and find that we enjoy some of the same privileges and some of the same relationship with God the Father that Jesus Christ did while he was here on the earth. And I think that's very important for us to remember because sometimes we get down on ourselves. Sometimes we wonder just how much the Father cares about us. Sometimes we think maybe we are not as close to him as we should be. And I want you to see today from this text that because of the relationship that God had with his Son and the relationship that he has with you now as a child of God, you have some fabulous privileges and a wonderful relationship with our Father in heaven. Now, if you'll notice in the passage of Scripture, he says that we should be called the sons of God. Do you know in the Gospels there are several places where Jesus Christ is called the Son of God? And he's called that in context of some other events in his life. And those events in his life are very similar to some things that we experience in our own lives. So let's go back and look in the Gospels. We'll refer to this text, but let's look in the Gospels. First of all, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, the angel has appeared to Mary to tell her, Gabriel is the one that came, to tell her that she's going to have a baby and that a man is not going to be involved. And she's a little, obviously, taken by that. How does that happen? She doesn't understand it. And so the angel explains it, and when he does, he refers to the child as the Son of God. Notice what he says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. The Bible says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." You understand that Jesus Christ in his birth had a supernatural birth. This is not the ordinary course of events at all. As a matter of fact, this is so supernatural, this is so out of the ordinary that there are many who profess to believe the Bible who don't believe this doctrine. But I'll tell you what, I don't have any problem believing it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. I can't explain it, but I don't think God lied. Some people will take offense at the fact that the angel said to her that her baby was a thing, that holy thing. I've called my babies worse than that. They sometimes would love to have been called a thing. That holy thing that should be called, that should be born of thee, should be called the Son of God. Please notice, he had, when he was called the Son of God, a supernatural birth. And don't forget that. And notice something else. Turn to John chapter 1. You say, well, I just got to Luke. Well, I know, but it's time to go to John chapter 1 now. John chapter 1. That's the next book over to your right. And look at verse 49. Notice he was called the Son of God. In the context of his supernatural birth. Okay? Now in John chapter 1, verse 49, we need to read a little bit of the context here, okay, so that we understand what's going on. Verse 43, we're going to go down to verse 49, but read verse 43 so we can see it in the context. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Boy. They were just as bad back then as we are today. Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. That was 7 miles away. Okay? Now, I've got some pretty good binoculars, but not that good. Nathanael answered, Listen, and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. A rabbi is a teacher. He's a master. And what really impressed Nathanael and what let him know that Jesus Christ was no ordinary person, but was the prophesied Son of God, is that Jesus Christ knew who he was and knew about him 7 miles away. You know what that is? That's supernatural knowledge. Supernatural knowledge. In other words, when you think of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you think of his virgin birth and you understand he had a supernatural birth. When you think of the things that he knows that ordinary men don't know like this, then you regard this Son of God also had supernatural knowledge. He's a very special person. But that's not all. Turn with me to another passage of Scripture. Look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And this happens with Peter. See, what I'm doing today is making sure that you get your Bible reading done. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start with verse 13. 16 is the verse we want, okay? But we're going to start with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16, 13, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "Behold, but whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That statement coming from Peter is a shock. If you know who Peter is. Peter's the guy that says, "Bid me come walk on the water with thee and save me." Peter's the one that said, "I'll go to Jerusalem and I'll die with thee." And a little woman comes up and says, "You're with him." He goes, "I'm not with him." And denied him three times. For Peter, this commercial fisherman, to make this testimony when everybody else was confused about whom Jesus Christ was. They were saying things like, you know, "He's John the Baptist, he's Elias, he's one of the prophets." He said, "No, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Notice what Jesus said about that. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That title, Son of God, was given in the context of supernatural revelation. Supernatural revelation. The people that finally figured this out figured it out because God revealed to them who Jesus Christ really is. He's the Son of God. You understand, in the context of the Son of God, he has a supernatural birth and supernatural knowledge and a supernatural revelation. There are some very unusual, supernatural things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have family members, and we talk about these things sometimes, and they'll say, "You know what, I don't believe that these are supernatural things about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think what these are, that these were men who just wanted to make up a man God. And so they wrote some things about him and called him Jesus and called him the Son of God, but we really don't know. He's not that. That's just a made-up thing." Well, the next two things might change your opinion if you hold the same opinion as some of my family members. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. You say, "Good, we're in the same book. I know where we are." Matthew chapter 27, and look at verse 54. Matthew chapter 27, verse 54, contains the testimony of a centurion who witnessed the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll pick it up at verse 50. Matthew 27, 50, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God." Truly, this was the Son of God. What is that? They watched him die. And the people who were eyewitnesses to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the events that took place around that said, "This is not the way ordinary men die." That centurion working for the Roman government who used crucifixion as an ordinary means of execution, and there were two other men that died with him that day, so it was a very familiar scene in Jerusalem back then, looked at that death and looked at the circumstances around it and said, "Something is going on here that ain't like anything we've ever seen before." They said about this man, he was the Son of God, and I'll tell you, there's some things that I have witnessed here today that confirm the testimony. Truly, this was the Son of God. So not only did he have those other supernatural events in his life that we've already discussed, but he had a supernatural death. That's not all. Turn with me to John chapter 20. And notice another context in which he is called the Son of God. John chapter 20. Now, verse 31 is the verse we want, but we probably ought to pick up 26 so that you get the context of it. John chapter 20, verse 26, and then we'll go down to verse 31, which is the one we want, okay? John chapter 20, verse 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Now, Thomas, you remember who he was? Well, who was he? He used to say, the other disciples had seen him and said, I won't believe that he's really risen unless I can touch him and see him. He was from, what is that, Missouri? Yeah. The Show Me State. You know, Philip of Bethsaida and Thomas of Missouri. "27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." He did something nobody else had ever done before. And he's still doing it. He rose from the dead. You say, well, you know, he raised Lazarus from the dead, but that Lazarus died again. You say, well, they raised Dorcas. Well, I know she died again. Raised the widow of Nain, raised her son. Yeah, I know, but he died again. This one raised up, and he didn't die again, and he never will die. You know, he's coming back. When he was here the first time, they were bold and crucified him. It isn't going to happen again. They hate him enough to crucify him again, but they will not be able to succeed because he'll be riding a white horse and he'll be followed by an army. I'll be in the army. And those of you who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be in the army too. And you're not going to let them crucify him this time. He said, listen, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But now, or my disciples fight, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Well, he's coming back to come in his kingdom, and when he does, we're going to fight. They're not going to do it again. Once was enough. He had a supernatural death, and he had a supernatural resurrection, a supernatural birth, supernatural knowledge, and supernatural revelation. All of those connected with the fact that he was called the Son of God. And our text that we read this morning said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And you get to thinking about those things that happened in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, well, I wonder if maybe some of those things would not be happening in our lives. If he was the Son of God, and we're one of the children, perhaps what he had, we have. And you know something? If your mind is thinking that way, then your mind is thinking along the same lines my mind is thinking. You say, how is that? I say, because of this. As Jesus Christ, well, turn to Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4 to develop this context just a little bit more. He said, we were doing good in the Gospels, preacher, but where's Galatians? Well, there's four books together right after Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And the easiest way to remember their order is go eat popcorn. Okay? So the G is first. If you got to Ephesians, you know you need to go left because you got to go before you can eat popcorn. And that's all after Corinthians. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. We read about that. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. As Jesus cried, called Him Father, so we call Him Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You know something? You're one of the brothers in the family. There is a likeness of what Jesus Christ has. You say, in what respect? Well, did we not see in the Scripture that Jesus Christ had a supernatural birth? May I tell you something? When you become a son of God, you've had a supernatural birth. Because the Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You're looking at somebody, and I can tell you my genealogy and my generations a few back, because our family history is fairly well recorded, but that's not the one that's so important to me. The one that's important to me is the one that got me into being a son of God. My natural birth got me where to my parentage, and my children have come from natural birth, but the Bible says I'm a son of God by a supernatural birth. And that supernatural birth was simply something that was accomplished the day that I bowed my knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I receive you. And at that point, the Bible says, you know what He says? He says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And I'm a child of God. A son of God. And I got a supernatural birth, just like my Savior. That's not all. He had a supernatural birth. He also had supernatural knowledge. Remember studying that? He knew something about Nathanael. And may I tell you something? You have supernatural knowledge as well. You say, really? When you believe this book, right here, your whole outlook on life changes. Your whole understanding of human nature changes. Your whole understanding of the world around you changes. You know things that people with PhDs that don't believe this book don't know and will never know. And it's not something that you got because you're so smart. It's a supernatural knowledge. Now, a fellow that I talked to this morning here at the church didn't know that I was going to preach this message and didn't know that the thing that he and his wife were saying to me is an illustration of that very thing. But I don't think they'll mind me telling you. Willie and Chris Hyme came here this morning and came up and gave me a big hug. I gave them a big hug. Okay, I'll give you a hug when we're done. I'm not ready. I can't get back there fast enough. It's coming. Your turn's coming. And Willie said, Brother Welder, I want you to know something. Now listen. When I grew up, I didn't have an education. When I started coming to church here, I didn't know how to read. Do you hear what I'm saying? And he said, you started preaching and teaching the Bible, and I began to have a hunger to understand what it said. And I would open my Bible and pray to God, Lord, I want to know what's in this book. And he said, today, I know how to read. And I know some things in this Bible that I didn't know before. And God did that. You know what that is? That's supernatural knowledge. And that's better than the fourth grade. And that's better than a PhD. That's the real deal. And you know what? You get that when you're a son of God. You get that when you're a son of God. That's yours. That's your privilege. You have a supernatural birth. You have supernatural knowledge. Jesus Christ, remember, there was supernatural revelation. Peter understood something about Jesus Christ that nobody else knew. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And may I tell you something? You have supernatural revelation. You say, really? Absolutely. I've had you turning all over the place. Let me read something for you. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, Neither have entered into the heart of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Have you ever come to a crossroads in your life that you did not know what to do? And you prayed to God and said, God, I need your wisdom. Not just the knowledge of what's on the page. I need understanding now. You have to reveal your will. I've got to know what direction to go. And you opened the pages of this book and looked inside, and the Holy Spirit of God showed you something that was just for you.
Amen.
You know what that is? That's something that sons of God get. That's what was around the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's what you have as a child of God. A supernatural revelation. A true relationship with the Spirit of God where God can reveal things to you that you need and reveal things to you about the Word of God that even go beyond the simple knowledge of its words. Do you know something? With the revelation of God right now, I can tell you things that Nostradamus cannot tell you. You're saying, oh, you're really holding yourself up to be somebody. No, you can do the same thing. You know where people without Christ go when they die. You know where people without Christ go when they die. Where do they go? They go to hell. That's not a popular word, but it's the truth. And you know where people go who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Where do they go? Amen. That's the future. That's the revelation of God. And it's something that you know in your heart to be absolutely true. Now we could go on and talk about all the other things. You know there's an Antichrist coming. People today are all concerned about why the dollar does what it does and the euro does what it does and the yen does what it does and why the stocks do what they do and the bonds do what they do and all the other investment things do what they do. I read in the Bible in Revelation chapter 13 that one of these days there's a dictator that's coming and he's going to set a monetary standard that is worldwide called the mark. And you're not going to buy and you're not going to sell without it. And in order to convince the world to go to that, there has to be enough chaos to convince them this is a better deal than what they have right now. So, you think things are going to get better, or you think things are going to get a little worse? Well, if it's going to stabilize into something, people have to say, I surrender to do that. Mark me so I can get some bread. That's, you know, people say, how do you prepare for that? I think the best way to prepare for that is stay very close to your Father. My dad's always taken real good care of me as long as he lived, and I think my father will take real good care of me as long as he's alive, and as far as I can tell from the Bible, he's going to live forever. Supernatural birth, supernatural knowledge, supernatural revelation. May I tell you something? You're going to have a supernatural death. Just like Jesus. You say, they're going to crucify me? No, no, not that bad. I hope. I have, over the years being in the ministry, attended many people on their deathbed and have witnessed on enough occasions the passing. I asked an undertaker one time. You know what an undertaker is, right? Funeral director. Mortician. I said, when you go to a house to recover a body, that's what they called it in the industry. You go to a house to recover a body. Can you tell from looking at the countenance of the person that you've gone to see whether they were saved or whether they were lost? And that funeral director that I talked to said before morphine was so prevalent on the deathbed, 90% of the time when I got to the house to recover the body, I could tell you what the preacher was going to preach at the funeral when it concerns their eternity. He said the look of expression on the face of saved people is almost one of joy and certainly one of relief. And the expressions on the face of lost people is generally one of fear and fright. See, how would they know which expression to have on their face when they're dying? The Bible says this, that when we as sons of God die, the Bible says, absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What does that mean? Absent from the body and to be present for the Lord. Well, if you're around when I die, or if I'm around when you die as a son of God, you're going to be lying there if you, you know, if it's not one of those, you know, deals. I was in church one time, and the guy was preaching, and there was a lady in the back, and I mean, really, just right during the middle of the service, went on to be with Jesus. Not a bad deal. I'll be lying there, breathing, and the moment that I exhale my last breath on earth, instantly I will inhale my first breath of heavenly air. Absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That quick. That quick. You know what that is? That's supernatural. That's a supernatural death. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ had one, somebody could say truly, this was the Son of God. That's what he said. And as Jesus Christ had a supernatural death, likewise he had a supernatural resurrection, and so will you. It's called the rapture. It's called the rapture. You say, what is that? Very simply, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's a comfort to me. We're gonna, you know, in other words, and this really bothered me. When I first started reading the Bible way back in 1986, I was like, you know, I have heard men say at funerals, he's in a better place now. Really? I know you say that people die and go to heaven, but when do they go and how do they go? Well, I've told you, the spirit and the soul leave instantly at your death. But that body, what about that? I mean, you had it all your life. Just that's the end of it? They put that in the ground or put it in the urn if you're in ashes, however it may go. And as a child of God, the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in an appointed time, and he's going to blow that trumpet, he's going to shout with that voice, and he's going to call your name. Jimmy, come up hither. Fred, come up hither. Bevins, come up hither. Ann, come up hither. I'm not going to name all the rest of you. And the Bible says he's going to fashion that vile body like unto his glorious body. Jesus walked around in a resurrected body that Thomas could touch. You're going to walk around in a resurrected body that anybody can touch. Jesus Christ could pass through walls and you'll pass through walls. Jesus could ascend to heaven and come back in 2 or 3 hours. You say, you know what, I feel like a trip up to heaven. And, you know, it's better than beam me up, Scotty, by far. For one thing, you won't have little pointed ears. A supernatural resurrection. You're going to live forever in a glorified body, look just like the Lord Jesus Christ. You get this a privilege of being a child of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Wow, this is tremendous. Everything Jesus got, we get. Supernatural birth, supernatural knowledge, supernatural revelation, supernatural death, supernatural resurrection. But did you notice in that verse of Scripture, he said, behold what love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 3 about his Father, he said, he's loved me and given me all things. And you know what he said about you and me concerning that same love? Turn to John chapter 17. Jesus Christ was talking to his Father, our Father. Look at Look at John chapter 17. This is people say the Lord's Prayer. This is it. This is Jesus talking to his Father. And he says in verse 20, we want 23, but we're going to pick it up at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you. If you've believed on him through his word. That they, that's you, all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You have a supernatural love as a child of God. You know, this time in which we live, I don't know how it's always been, but people walk around with long faces today. They walk around with regrets about their past, and they walk around with the troubles of their failures, and they walk around with the worries of the future, and they walk around with heavy hearts. And the Bible talks about a heavy heart making you stoop. I'd like to lift your heart up just a little bit today and let you know something. You know God loved Jesus. This is my beloved Son, he said, in whom I'm well pleased. May I tell you something? He loves you just like he loved him. As a child of God, you have a supernatural love, and that ought to be something to bring your shoulders back up. That ought to be something to allow you to take a look in his face and say, I am accepted in the Beloved. That ought to allow you to lift your face up and say, I'm not ashamed to be known as a son of God. For somebody to love me like that, like he loved his own son, what a privilege, what an honor, what an opportunity. What is something that we should return to him as well? That much love for us, I'm going to love him. Isn't that fabulous? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You've got something, folks. You've got something real. You've got something in your relationship with the Father that is greater than anything you could have on earth with that kind of love. I'd like to say something. If you're here today and you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, I'm not talking about some, we don't do a ritualistic religion doctrine here. This is what you see. We sing, we pray, we preach, and we like each other. Pretty simple. But what we have in common is that we have received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. If you've never received him, by asking him, somebody said, how do you receive him? The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, if you've never asked him to save you, you're not a child of God. Not according to the Bible. You've not had a supernatural birth like Jesus did. And you need a supernatural birth. You need to be born again. That's why Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. But may I tell you something? When you get born again, supernatural birth, supernatural knowledge, supernatural revelation, supernatural death, supernatural resurrection, supernatural love, why wouldn't you go for that? Let's pray. Father, these folks come because they love to hear you lifted up and love to hear your words magnified, and they've heard it today. And I believe, Father, we've been encouraged. You really do love us, and we've got great things as child of God. I pray every person that's here today, Father, was encouraged by these words to draw even closer to you than they have been. But my heart is also concerned for anybody here that may be here without you, have never trusted you by faith. Maybe skepticism was the problem. Maybe they saw hypocrisy in other people, didn't like what they saw in others who professed to be the child of God. I don't know. But what they heard today was the truth, straight from the Scripture, and our heart's desires that they'll receive you if they haven't yet. Oftentimes, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, oftentimes I ask if there's somebody that wants to receive Him, raise your hand. You know, I won't ask you to do that today. Here's what I'll ask you to do. You want to receive Him, receive Him. Just trust Him the best way you know how. You say, I'd like some help in that. I'd like to know a little more about it. Then, see me after the service. Call back to the church and say, Preacher, I was there that day. You talked about a child of God. I'm not one, and I want you to help me to know more about that. That's fine. I'll do that. But you don't need me. You need Jesus. And you need to receive Him to be a child of God. Father, I pray for these that have heard that and the invitation. I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stir their hearts by your Holy Spirit to take you up on the offer of salvation. For I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.